26 minutes after the hour. Good morning. I hope your day's going good. Thanks for sharing it with us. Bill Arnold here in studio. And also, we've got a big holiday coming up on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And for many of you, it might just be a day off, but for others, it's a very significant day in a person's heart. And my guest is probably one of those, Trillia Newbell. She's written a book called United, Capture by God's Vision for Diversity. Trillia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Such a cool name, Trillia Newbell. I love that.
You know, thanks. It's a crazy name.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Arnold is just my stage name. I was born Sterling Maximus. But I thought I better have a more impressive stage name. But anyway, this book that you've written is fascinating, and I really am excited to talk to you about it. And you grew up, first of all, in the South in the 70s and 80s.
I did, in probably more the 80s and 90s. But
okay.
Yes, I grew up in
the... yeah.
Give me a few more years. I'm just kidding. But yes, I did. I grew up in the South, and I had a relatively wonderful experience. But the bouts of racism that I did experience were rather intense. And
mm-hmm.
so things like having eggs thrown at me once and just strange things but the Lord protected me in many other ways.
Mm-hmm. So what role did your family, as you were growing up, how did they play in helping you develop a passion for diversity? In spite of the hatred that you guys experienced on some level.
Right. Well, my father would have probably had experienced much more. He would have experienced much more. He passed away, which is why I'm speaking in the past. But he taught us to forgive and to love our neighbor, to love people, and to almost be just an accepting, loving, open-minded people. So it wasn't necessarily grounded in God's word, but it was just grounded in a desire to love people. And so that was something that I did not grow up thinking that I should hold grudges or begrudge people. And it was just a really beautiful upbringing, especially as I became a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wait a minute, this is God's command for us. So it was very good. It was
mm-hmm.
encouraging.
So we have a big problem with racism in our country, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I think probably a few years ago, we would have claimed to be post-racial. I think now, with all of the series of events that have happened in our country, we can all agree that we still have work to be done. And yes, racism is a matter of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be able to talk about these things, because God is after our hearts, and it transforms hearts by his word and through his gospel and the spirit. So we can, my hope is that we'll begin to talk about these things so that we can put our faith into action, not only action in loving people, but in repentance.
Mm-hmm. Trillia, your passion is just so contagious, just hearing you over the phone. Explain how everything changed for you when you became a Christian, your identity. And tell me what that meant for you as a black woman.
Yes, so before I was a Christian, I would have probably put most of my identity in two things: what people thought of me, but also, let's be honest, but also in... my blackness or for some they would have claimed that I sounded white.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was often confused, because I wanted to be accepted by all people. I was just it was just a confusing time.
Mm-hmm.
As a teenager. But then when I became a Christian, the Lord gave me a new identity. I am his. I'm his daughter, and I am in Christ, which in my identity isn't found in my skin color, though I'm not stripped of it. God designed me this way, and it's beautiful for his glory. So it's not something that we want to strip away, but our heart desire, our heart identity, who we are, is no longer based on these outward appearances and the things that that or even how others identify us.
Mm-hmm.
That was just such a beautiful and encouraging transformation, just to be to know that I am His, I'm His daughter, and my identity is now in Christ.
Mm.
And yet He has made me in His image to reflect Him in various ways. And part of that includes being, He created me. He created me. He created this brown skin, and He's given us all very, very varying cultures. So God, I don't believe, is calling us to be colorblind,
mm-hmm.
but to love one another and learn from one another and reflect Him for His glory in that.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Trillia Newbell. She's written a book called United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. You know, Trillia, maybe we all need a little refresher course on what God's vision for diversity is as it's seen in the Bible. I mean, maybe you can share some of that vision. And where do you see, how do you see that?
Sure. Well, I see it from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I've mentioned that He has created us all in the image of God. And what I mean by this imago Dei is that He did not discriminate. He did not discriminate. He created every single person to reflect Him in His character in some way. So even from the beginning, God is creating a people for His own glory, all from different tribes and tongues and nations. And then we see Jesus, He died for every tribe and tongue and nation, and then He gives us the command, a great commission, to go and make disciples of every tribe and tongue and nation, not just of ourselves. And then we see in Revelation 5 and 7 that we're all going to be worshiping together, every single one of us. There will be no division. Ephesians 2 talks about the wall of hostility being torn. It's broken. It's abolished. And so we have a Christ who comes to unify a people, and not just one certain person, but varying degrees of people. We have a colorful family.
Mm-hmm.
We are adopted into a new family. And so all throughout Scripture, all of that are various Scriptures quoted. I mean, it's just beautiful that, and remarkable that God's Word reveals so much about His plan to rescue humanity, and it's not a partial. He's not a partial God. He's a God who loves the diversity of that He created.
Mm-hmm. Trillia, I just love your spirit, and I'm going to take a little break. And when we come back, I've got several more questions for you on the racial diversity and racial reconciliation. It's a big topic, and thanks for joining me this morning on the studio line. We'll take a break. It's 44 minutes after the hour. Be back in just a minute. Thanks for listening this morning. It's 47 minutes after the hour. I'm talking to Trillia Newbell. She's written a book called United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity. And there's a lot of discussion today about racial reconciliation and racial diversity. And Trillia, I'm kind of curious, because I know you're probably a fan of neighborhood worship. And is racial diversity more an issue for bigger cities?
Is racial diversity more an issue for bigger cities?
Yeah, let me see if I asked that question right. Let's say I live on 742 Main Street, and I walk three blocks down to my local church, and it's filled with all the people that live in my neighborhood, and they all look the same. Now, that's a good thing, isn't it? That's okay.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, so we want, it would be, I think, encouraging an ideal for the church to be multi-ethnic because mm-hmm. of what we're going to be worshiping at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reality is it's not always possible, but more than not, I think, there are communities that are diverse. The problem is we're not reaching our neighbors. We're not looking out the door. We are often congregating and associating with those who are like us. And even you hear of churches that are in downtown areas. They're old, beautiful churches, but the people come in and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then they drive in and then they leave, but they're not reaching that actual neighborhood. So if the reality is that we are worshiping in our neighborhood and our neighborhoods are homogenous and maybe a little monolithic, and
mm-hmm.
but if that's the reality and that's our neighborhood, okay, that is the reality. But more than not, I think that our neighborhoods, we're probably not reaching. In my neighborhood, for example, I live in a very I live in a suburb of Nashville, and it's predominantly white. But my neighbors, I have several Indian neighbors, white, obviously, just a really diverse area around me.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be easy for my excuse to be, well, the neighborhood's pretty much homogenous.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, if I'm actually reaching my neighbors, if I'm stepping outside and at least inviting them, then we know, okay, that we're doing our part. So
mm-hmm.
so I think I think sometimes that can be an excuse, but we do definitely we do definitely have neighborhoods that it would be harder to reach, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, Trulia, that leads me to my next question, and as I have you on the hot seat, here it is. I know that just when you talk about people in your neighborhood, you're mentioning that in a way that sounds like we need to be more relationally driven, because if you have connections and friendships with people, it's a lot easier to invite them into a church or to attend something that they're worshiping, place they're worshiping. Explain how your friendship with two women of different races became a kind of a powerful way for you to live out your dream of diversity.
Yes, so I was a part of a church that was predominantly white, but within there, there were pockets of diversity, and I had a friend who is Chinese, and we're still very good friends, Chinese and white, and we met together off and on for several years. And the Lord he did such a work in our hearts, knitting our hearts together. We became the best of friends. We were also accountable to each other. We were able to spur one another on in faith and good deeds and confess sin. And God it was encouraging to my faith, because it was a desire that I had in my heart, but it was lacking in our church. But God gave in such a small, intimate way that I wouldn't have even considered until it happened. And I thought, you know, Lord, this is – you are good. He is good, and he has a desire to see his people cared for. And so, I think often when we think about, oh, we really want to build diverse churches, or we want to even pursue this goal of diversity, we can think big or programs. I really do believe that it starts with relationships,
mm-hmm.
and getting out of our insular ways and stepping into, and I know this is so cliche, but we need to step out of our comfort zone. It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so cliche,
yeah.
But it's so true. We are comfortable and we want to stick in it, but we've got to step out. And I believe that God is faithful in that. As we, this is our faith. He commanded. Jesus commands the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, and we take that command as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is our faith, He's calling us to put it into action, and I believe He's going to be faithful in that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julia, speaking of cozy relationships, let's talk about your good-looking husband and the fact he could probably build a garage by himself. Because you have a racially diverse marriage. So, what challenges have you encountered with those who still kind of disagree with a black person marrying a white person?
Right. Yeah, we haven't had extreme pushback by the grace of God. We've definitely experienced racism. There was one time we were actually surprised. There was a black African-American couple, and they were very vocal towards me against it. They're disgusted that I was with my white male husband, mm-hmm. and we were very surprised. But with that said, yeah, we've had – it's mostly looks or questions, but not strong racial pushback. Now, we are also blessed to have family who love we all love each other and have been accepting, and there's been no question. This is not the case for everyone. As a matter of fact, when I wrote United and as I wrote articles, I continually, and I even continue to this day, get email after email from families that are either torn apart or struggle in this area because of racism. And it burdens my heart. It grieves my heart that this is still something that is so divisive among even Christians, people who claim to believe the Bible. And so we are very fortunate, and I'm thankful for that, but I know that it is not the case for many, many people.
Mm-hmm. Julia, we only have about a minute left or less. So what kind of dream do you have for your biracial children in the world they're going to be living in 20 or 30 years from now?
My dream is that that they would look at mom's work, this United, this book, and say, why in the world would she write such a thing? Because it wouldn't be the issue. It wouldn't be a topic that is of such concern as it is right now, that they would see not only cultural and racial diversity, but real true love that can only be found in the gospel. So my prayer is that the gospel would be strong and made manifest in this area and in the heart, their hearts, and the hearts of those who are around them, and that it would just be a topic that would not be as needed as it is today.
Awesome. Trillia Neubel, thank you so much for being on the show. United, Captured by God's Vision for Diversity is her book. Have a wonderful weekend, and have a happy Martin Luther King holiday on Monday.
Thank you.
56 minutes after the hour. Be right back after a short break.